It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Problems. There seems to be problems everywhere, and no matter where we turn. But let me remind you that sometimes we get problems and symptoms confused. We sometimes call a symptom the problem. And if we really study this, we'll find out that many times what we think is the problem is not the problem, but it is a symptom. And we've been looking at this. We looked at the symptom of worry. We looked at the symptom of fear. And right now, I'd like for us to look biblically at the symptom of doubt. Well, we could say doubt. Did God really say what I think he said? You see, we can produce doubt in our own minds of what we think is there, but it is really not. Doubting, remember doubting Thomas? In John chapter 20 and verse 25, it says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him," unto Thomas that is, "We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, let me ask, are you a doubting Thomas? Let's be honest. All of us will have doubts on occasion, but those doubts of any kind should not be allowed to control our lives. We need to learn to let God be true. God said he would never leave or forsake you. Now, I'm speaking to the saved person today, that person who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. And I'll also be speaking to that person who's never trusted Jesus Christ. But to the saved person, he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's impossible for God to lie or to deceive. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Well, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 goes on to say, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." God has promised salvation to those who will trust him. And then we see the first three words in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "And God said." And the last four words in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 7, "And it was so." Well, God says what he means and means what he says. Whenever God speaks, he speaks the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" In other words, God's going to do what he says he's going to do. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." And Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, verse 49, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Well, everything God says must come to pass. Therefore, what a terrible sin it is to doubt God's word and to question what he has said. The scriptures must be fulfilled. God has never failed to fulfill a promise. Everything will come to pass just as God has said. Joshua 21, verse 45, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Joshua 23 and verse 14, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. God always fulfills what he says he's going to do. Well, is it ever wrong to doubt? Let's look at healthy doubt. Sometimes doubt can be a virtue. Eve should have doubted the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and then ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Eve should have doubted the serpent. You see, and also the wise men, when we think of the birth of Christ, and the wise men doubted Herod. This was good. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 8. "And he sent them," that's the wise men, "to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And we keep reading in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "And being warned of God," this is the wise men, now they were warned of God in a dream, "that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Well, at times it is necessary to question what someone says. If we believe everything people tells us, we can get ourselves into trouble. Sometimes doubt can be a detriment or a disadvantage, a harmful thing. Eve doubted God instead of the serpent. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 of Genesis. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And if you look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, where it says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Well, Eve should have doubted the serpent instead of doubting God. And we look also, and sometimes we are to doubt the prophet as to whether or not he is a prophet of God. You see, everybody that says, "I'm from God," is not from God. Everybody who says, "I am speaking the things of God," well, everybody doesn't speak the things of God who say they are. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." Doubt. In other words, this doubt can be good. When you doubt what someone is saying, if they are not of God, then you need to get into the scriptures, and that doubt will be turned into a fact, because the fact is this: if they are not speaking from the Word of God, not telling you the things of God, then they are not of God. To try to doubt the spirits whether they are of God. In other words, when you look in 1 John 4, 1 again, it says, to try the spirits whether they are of God. That's doubt. And this is to discern them by God's Word and the Holy Spirit. John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is truth. Check up on the preacher. Check up on the one who says he is the prophet of God, whether the things he is telling you is true. How do you do that? By getting into the book, the Word of God. I use the King James Version of the Bible. I believe it is the inspired, infallible, God-breathed word that he has given us. And by the way, if I quote the scriptures and I'm saying something different than what your Bible says, you're using the wrong Bible. You need to get into the King James Bible, the Word of God. Now, in John 16, 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Someone says, "I can't understand the King James Bible." Well, do you have the Spirit of God? Do you have the Spirit of truth? Then you should be able to understand it. It says, "Howbeit, when he," that's the Spirit of truth, "has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Jesus Christ, he's the Savior. And we need to look into the book and follow what he has for us, not doubting him. Well, notice some doubts about salvation. Many people have doubts about their salvation. Am I really saved? Do I really have eternal life? Have I lost my salvation? Have I committed the unpardonable sin? Will I really go to heaven when I die? I don't feel like I'm saved. Well, it's wonderful to know that we do not have, we don't need to doubt our salvation. Eternal life? Are you sure? Well, we know that we are saved and have eternal life according to the Scriptures once again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Once again, you get into the Scriptures. God speaks to the heart. He speaks to us through His Word, and He lets us know. He takes the doubt away. Once we get saved, we have eternal life forever. He takes the doubt away of not knowing. If we have eternal life, we do have eternal life according to what He has written to us in His Word. Now, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been freed from sin? Now, I'm not saying that you're sinless here in this life. I'm saying, have you been freed? Is He your Savior? John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Do you believe that Christ died to take the punishment for your sins and rose again to give you His life? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, "Who was delivered," and this is Jesus, "who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Are you right now trusting in Christ and in Christ alone for your salvation? The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. If you have trusted Christ, then God says that you have eternal life. John chapter 6 and verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." That word "hath," it means right now. You don't have to wait until the death angel comes around and takes you. You have eternal life right now because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And by the way, when your eyes close in death, as a safe person, I believe you go immediately into the presence of God, Jesus, to put His arms around you. Don't doubt Him or question Him or accuse Him of being a liar. That's Jesus. Don't question it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son." Don't question or doubt. Just rest upon what He has said and start to enjoy the gift He has given you. He has given you eternal life. 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." The gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you haven't trusted Him, call upon Him today. Quit doubting Jesus Christ. He is the one who can save you right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.